Luke tells us the story of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, and then after the resurrection of Jesus, we have the book of Acts. We're going to be in that second chapter, close to the end of that chapter, starting at verse 42 and then continuing through verse 47. I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Living Translation. You can follow along in your favorite translation. But Acts chapter 2 and starting at verse 42. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over all of them all. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we do give you thanks for your words that you have shared with us, and we thank you, O God, for the witness and the testimony of those who continue to follow the life of Jesus. And we pray and ask that as we continue in that very same life, we pray and ask that, Lord, that as our hearts meditate upon your holy words, we pray and ask that you will open our hearts, that they may be filled in the power of your Holy Spirit, and most importantly, O Lord, that they may be filled with the life that truly comes from you. And I thank you, O God, for the words that you have spoken to me. I pray and ask that as I preach this morning, that the words that I share, that they will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Now, I do want to go back to last week. I want to go back to this idea that we gathered around last week that says, reframe your problems. That's why I stood in this very pulpit and I invited you to do that. I invited you to think about that, to think about those places. You know, we started earlier about being able to capture our thoughts, take every thought captive. And so to be able to take a thought that, you know, you may look at and you may get a sense that is a problem, and to reframe that. To pay attention to where God may be present in that. And I will tell you that with this very title on the screen so that all of you can see, with me repeating the title of it like that, on Tuesday morning, early, kids were just going to school. I went out to the garage to put something in the garage and saw water coming out of the ceiling of the garage. Really hard to reframe your problems when there's water coming out of the ceiling. Now, I will say this. I will say it's really best case scenario of anything that could happen like this, because what it essentially was is there's a condensation pipe that attaches to the air conditioner unit. And so essentially that's what it was. It was coming down, so it was doing exactly what it was going to do. It was coming down that pipe rather than, you know, the entire ceiling falling out. And so it really is. It's the best thing that can happen there. But when I'm inviting you into these sermons, into these messages, I get it. I know it can be extraordinarily hard. I know it can be almost impossible to do those things that the scriptures invite us to do. In fact, that whole idea about reframing your problems centered around, well, it's a family, it is not just a family squabble. It is not a family dispute, but it is actually brothers who are fighting with each other. And some brothers who sell another brother into slavery. It happens at the very beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20 says it this way: even though you intended to harm me, God intended it for good. And so, after I figured out why there was water coming out of the ceiling, after I also figured out how to take care of the water that is coming out of the ceiling, I remembered. I I remembered this verse of scripture. And so in a sense, although air conditioners, maybe who shouldn't be working so hard this time of the year as we come into fall, even in air conditioners may intend to harm us, God does intend to bring good to it. But you know, the only way that I was able to know the good was that I knew where it was coming from. I also knew what to do about it. And the reason I knew something to do about it is because a couple of neighbors. One neighbor that has, they become empty nesters and they moved away, as neighbors do in neighborhoods. Neighbors that would come to know, neighbors that would come to love, and then they move on. But then also another neighbor that's still right across the street who have shown me, well, this is what happens when you have water that gets clogged. This is what happens, and this is how you do it, and able to take care of it. It's that idea that Elijah, the first words out of his mouth today to me was, where's everybody at? It's together. It's being together. It's being around one another. You know, the earliest accounts that we have of Christianity that come in all the Gospels is that at the death of Jesus, Jesus has reminded his disciples and over, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He says, there's going to be a time you're no longer going to see me, but I'm going to be with you. You're no longer going to see me, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to come and comfort you. But over and over, he's prepared them for his own death. But at the moment that Jesus is crucified, at the moment that Jesus is placed in the tomb, it is. Do you remember? Do you remember this? I know we're a long ways from Easter, but you remember this story, right? Early on the first day of the week, what happens? Women go to the tomb to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. And then Jesus is not there, and where do they go? They go to find his disciples. They go together to find his disciples. Early Easter morning is a story of people coming together. And in fact, it is not any different as you move beyond the resurrection. Because as Luke will continue to write this story about the people of God, that after the death and after the resurrection of Jesus, there are people that are coming together. In fact, our reading from this morning, Acts chapter 2, verse 44, says, and all the believers, they met together. They were meeting together in one place. They were sharing everything that they had. Now, this is about 50 days after Easter, about 50 days from that early on the first day of the week, early on that Easter Sunday morning. It was about 50 days after Easter that disciples, believers in the upper room, that about 120 people are coming together. In fact, one of the real unique things about Luke and about what Luke is writing, you can go all the way back to the very beginning, all the way back to the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke. And Luke says that other people have sat down to write the story of Jesus. He said many people have taken these stories of Jesus and they have compiled them, they have put them together. But Luke will tell us in the very beginning of Luke chapter 1, he says, I went and I wanted to sit down and make an orderly account about Jesus and the life of Jesus. And here in Acts chapter 2, from 120 people that gather in the upper room, 120 people that after the death, after the resurrection of Jesus, that where Jesus says, go and wait. There you are going to be filled with power. It is going to be power from on high. With those 120 people at the beginning of Acts chapter 2 are then going to become 3,000 people as we come to the end of Acts chapter 2. Notice the power that the Holy Spirit has in connecting and bringing people together. And imagine that in the power of the Holy Spirit, able to all of them being in the same room together, but also being able to share everything they had and give it to one another. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit is able to do. As the power of the Holy Spirit is able to take us from being by ourselves, from being alone, from being in places where we think that we've got to face our problems and we've got to face our issues and we've got to face those concerns that weigh so heavily on us, to thinking that we've got to face them alone. The Holy Spirit brings us together. It reminds us that reframing your problems, that looking at those places where other people may intend evil and where God certainly intends good, that's not something we do alone. It's not something we do by ourselves. It's something that we do together. Easter, Sunday morning, the women gather early, first day of the week. They're alone. 120 of those same women, those same 12 disciples that Jesus called, along with other believers, will gather from 120 to 3,000 people. In fact, Jesus with 12 disciples, in his own lifetime with 12 disciples, Jesus will come together crowds of up to 5,000 people where everybody is able to eat and everybody is full and everybody is complete. You've heard me talk about this before. But the Surgeon General in 2023 said in the United States that there is a loneliness epidemic. I actually made that declaration, 2023. And so people started paying attention to that declaration, started paying attention to what was happening with that, with a loneliness epidemic that is happening in our own country. And in May of 2024, Gallup actually started talking to people, started asking people, you know, what do you feel? Do you have moments? Do you have times in your life that you feel lonely? October 2024, according to Gallup, 52 million Americans, they said, yes, absolutely. And they go on, dig a little bit deeper in the numbers, and one out of every five report experiencing loneliness on a daily basis. The Surgeon General said this is a national crisis. And in fact, Gallup says, yeah, some of the numbers are bearing out. This is really true. And then, upon further inspection, says one out of every five people say on a daily basis they feel like they're alone. This is where we should be on the front lines. It is the call from God that should be to every Christian church. We should be on the front lines of moving people and inviting people to places where they experience from being by themselves to being together. And it's part of our history, it's part of our tradition of bringing people together. There's a wonderful verse of Scripture, there's a wonderful proverb to keep close by you if you don't know it, from the book of Ecclesiastes. This is the best of the Hebrew wisdom literature. It's the best of the wisdom literature that emerges out of the Old Testament. But it says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I can promise you that when water is pouring from a ceiling, I was certainly looking for help. I got an opportunity several years ago. I was serving a couple of churches, and one of those churches, I had a two-point charge. It was two churches. Now, the church I would go to first on Sunday morning was Edgewater. It was on the backside of Pleasant Grove, and these are the conversations. I mean, these are the kinds of ideas that come to your mind as you pray and as you also think about your own experience that you've had in this past week. But Edgewater, there was an organist. One of the things that we oftentimes don't think about, but everybody that sings, everybody that plays on Sunday morning is not just showing up on Sunday morning and then everything comes off without a hitch. There's time and there's preparation. So on a Saturday afternoon, an organist was going by himself to the church at Edgewater and pulled in front of this Edgewater church and saw from the front doors water pouring out from the doors of the church and just puddling up. It was not freezing temperatures or anything like that at the time, but there was water that was coming out of the front doors of the church. And so the organist did what any good musician would do in the church, what any good organist would do, immediately saw the water and called the administrative council president, called the board chair. Natalie, that would be what you would have to look forward to here at Grace Point. And so immediately made that call, to which the board chair immediately makes a call to who, and you would guess it, the preacher, the pastor that was serving at the time. And so that's the next phone that would happen. And the pastor, after taking some time, and said, you know, there's water that's coming out of the door. There's water that's in the sanctuary. This is where it was emerging from. And there's water that is pouring out there. And the pastor, after catching a breath and being very thoughtful, very mindful, as pastors are all the time, right? Never fly off the handle or get angry or mad or anything like that. But after a very thoughtful response, says, well, we must do one thing. we must immediately call for an emergency meeting of the Board of Trustees. Right? You've got water that's coming out of the door of the chair. The board chair says, well, I'm going to guess that if you go to the church right now, you're going to see every member of the Board of Trustees with a broom and a bucket and a mop in their hands. They're already at church. So if you want to have a meeting with them, they're already there getting the water out of the church. The promise that Luke wants us to see after the resurrection, after the power of the Holy Spirit that falls upon all those 120 people who are gathered in the upper room that do have to deal with their own issues of leaks and water, not enough bread and not enough food to go around, that had to deal with their own possibilities of their own jobs and their own trades stopping. What Luke wants to remind us is that coming together, being together, that's when God begins to add to their fellowship those who are being saved. And imagine the opportunity that we have as a community. Imagine the opportunity that we have as a church of coming together. That cord of three strands that the preacher of Ecclesiastes reminds us about, that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. This is what God does. This is what God does, is that God adds daily. When we become churches that are coming together, God adds daily to those who are being saved. Salvation comes through Christ alone. It's what we affirm. It's what we believe. It's what we come that salvation comes as Christ alone. Christianity comes and, in fact, flourishes when we come together. Now, I know that probably you are not sitting at nighttime or sitting during the day, and you're probably not reading books like this. There's a wonderful book. It's called Seven Practices of Effective Ministry. I'm going to guess, probably not on your nightstand. But one of the interesting things about this is that Andy Stanley, Reggie Joyner, and Lane Jones, are Andy Stanley being the senior pastor, and then the other two staff members, North Point Community Church, just right over in Georgia. But they wrote this book, and this book actually emerges. It emerges out of a new church that was coming together, and just the kind of ways that they determine this is how we're going to live, this is how we're going to build our church together. And you could probably guess it, even though you may not be familiar with the book, Seven Practices of Effective Ministry. There are seven, just practices that they outline. But one of them, practice number five, says this: we listen to outsiders. Focus on who you are trying to reach and not who you are trying to keep. This is what Christianity is reminded us of. It's what Christianity over and over again reminds us of. It's even what our children at times remind us of. That we focus on who we're trying to connect with, who we're trying to reach, and not just who we're trying to keep. I noticed that all of you have come to church this morning. All of you have made it into this space. Did any of y'all hear this past week of the rapture? It seems that there was a story, the rapture. And if you're not entirely familiar with the rapture is this idea. It's this idea that all of a sudden that Christians are going to be suddenly called up in heaven. That is the idea of what the rapture is. And there was a preacher that made a prediction, and this is one that I don't know. It got a lot of traction, but in fact, this was supposed to happen. That on Tuesday, September the 23rd. That the rapture was going to happen. If it had, I don't guess any of us would have to worry about water leaking from our ceilings or water leaking from any other place. But as I said, we've gathered here. Jesus reminds us. Jesus reminds us about that. And in fact, it's in Matthew 24. It's in Mark 13 about that day, about that hour. No one knows, not even Jesus. These are the words that Jesus invites us to embrace. And there is a hope. There is a hope in raptures. There is a hope and God bringing us together. There is a hope in God gathering us up and bringing us together so that we are at the feet of Jesus, so that we are finding our places in the kingdom of heaven. Because it's a hope that we don't just all of a sudden wake up on Tuesday, September the 23rd and recognize. It's a hope that God's already created in our hearts. It's a hope that every single one of us has in our hearts, that we will be reunited with those that we love, that we will be in the kingdom of heaven, that we will live eternally. And so that's why. It's one of the reasons why it gets traction. And yeah, it's one of the reasons that God reminds us on a moment like this, is that that same hope that fuels our hope that we have for heaven is the same hope that fuels places like this, communities of faith when we come together. In fact, in the writer of Hebrews, we'll say it this way, and probably some of the best words of really what we are to do together. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, that hope. For God can be trusted to keep God's promises, to keep His promises. And imagine what happens when we start to think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and also acts of good works. And let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but let us encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. See, there's a hope. It doesn't just happen on Tuesday or whenever the next prediction comes around and rolls around. And don't worry, there will be more predictions. But let us hold on to that hope. Let us remember that that hope of being together is one that we can always be sure is going to be present every single day of the week. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we do hope in You. We put not only our trust, but Lord, as Your very own disciples, we put our entire lives into Your hands. It is throughout the Hebrew Scriptures, it is throughout Your prophets that You remind us, Lord, that just as we are clay in Your hands, that You mold us and You shape us. You guide and You direct each of our steps, and we pray and ask that in the fellowship that we enjoy, we pray and ask that You will give us eyes so that we will see others, Lord, who may not have that same fellowship. So we may see others, O Lord, that have fallen out of the habit of coming together. And Lord, let us together, let us live as You have taught us to live. Let us love as You have loved us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.